chapter 150. The book of Psalms, that's the last chapter in the book of Psalms. And we're going to read all six verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to turn there.
If you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 671. Several years ago, when I first started pastoring, the church asked me, said, "Are you going to take off Fifth Sunday?" And you know, a lot of preachers do that, take off Fifth Sunday, and that's between them and the Lord. It doesn't matter to me, but I told them then, I said, "Well, does the devil take off the Fifth Sunday just because it's the Fifth Sunday?" And I never have done that. I really don't think much about it, but I know a lot of times people change things on the fifth Sunday, but I just never have done that. But I do notice when we have fifth Sunday, we got some coming, some going, and that's all right as well. I was just saying that to give you time to find your place. Psalms 150, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for letting us be here today and the privilege of prayer and breath to breathe and strength to walk and, Lord, mind to think. God, we have so much to thank You for and to praise You for. And I just ask today that You would speak to our hearts as Thy people. Lord, I pray that we could just worship Thee and receive the message from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that it would be edifying to Thy people. Lord, no doubt we need to praise You more. As we praise You, it gets our eyes on You and not on the things of this world. And Lord, it helps one another. So Lord, I just pray You take the message today and use it for Your honor, for Your glory. If there'd be one here today that's lost, or maybe just in a state in their soul and in their spirit that they just cannot praise You, Lord, I pray You'd speak to that heart, that individual. We pray souls would be saved, lives changed. We pray for Your help today. I pray for liberty. I pray, Lord, for freedom of thought. I pray You'd bind the devil that he'd not hinder. I pray You'd just have Your way. Well, thank You for all You do. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we could read all these verses again, but just for an example, we'll go and read verse number 1 one more time. The Bible said, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power." And if you study this chapter in the Bible, you'll find out that it says, "Praise ye the Lord" two times. It says, "Praise God" one time. It says, "Praise Him" nine times. And it simply says, "Praise the Lord" one time. Would anybody like to guess what I want to try to preach on today? I want to try to preach on "Praise ye the Lord" or "Praise Him" or "Praising God." Chapters 145 through 150 could just be called praise, 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 praise. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about praising the Lord. And if you just look at the beginning of these chapters, sort of at the end of the book of Psalms, Psalms 146, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And chapter 147, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. and praise is comely. That means it's beautiful. When the Lord sees His saints praise Him, it's beautiful unto Him. It's comely unto Him. Chapter 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Chapter 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the saints. The Bible has a great deal to say about praise, especially in the book of Psalms. Chapter 150, we could just say sort of a summary of praise. There's some things in this chapter that I want to try to point out this morning. And I was thinking about, praying about what I was going to preach about today, and the thought just kept coming to my mind that I ought to just preach on praising the Lord. So if I was going to try to find a chapter in the Bible that would just sort of summarize praising the Lord, this would be it. Chapter 150. And to praise means a commendation, or in our language, the way we say things, it would just be simply to brag on somebody. And when we praise the Lord, that's what we're doing. We're commending Him. We're bragging upon the Lord for who He is and what He's done and what He continues to do. So I want to show you about four things in this passage of Scripture. Number one, there is the repository of praise. Now that's a big word, and I don't even know how come I knew what it meant, but I did, and I got to thinking about it, and that's what we find in verse number one, a repository. That's an old word, and I know we don't use that a lot, but what it is, it's a place where things are or may be deposited for safety or preservation, such as a silo is a repository for grain. That's where you put it to keep it safe. That's where you store it up at. That's what a repository is. And verse number one says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His sanctuary. Where should we praise the Lord? We ought to praise Him in His sanctuary. I looked up what a sanctuary was, and there's three definitions for a sanctuary in the old dictionary. And number one, it said that a sanctuary was in the tabernacle, and it was the Holy of Holies. That's where the blood was taken one time a year. That's where atonement was made for the nation of Israel. That's where the high priest went into on the great day of atonement. And that's where the Shekinah glory of God was. That was the dwelling place of God. Now that's where the mercy seat was. That was His sanctuary. It's talking about where God dwells at. It's the sanctuary. And then another definition was the temple. Later on, the temple at Jerusalem. That was also known as God's house or the house of prayer. And that's where the Jews went to worship and make their sacrifices. And then the third one was this, a house consecrated to the worship of God. And that's what we're in this morning. This is a church building. This is the sanctuary. This has been dedicated to. This has been set apart for. This has been consecrated. What do you do in the sanctuary? We come in to worship God. Oh, we come in on Sunday morning. First thing we do, we begin to sing praises unto the Lord. That's what you do in a sanctuary. Let Him be praised in His sanctuary. Let praise begin at home. Let praise begin at God's house. That's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to have on our minds when we come together to worship the Lord, is praising Him, thanking Him, honoring Him for all that He's done in our hearts and in our lives. Look at chapter 149, verse number 1. I've already read that once today, but the Bible says again, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. That's where we are, and that's what we've already been involved in this morning, is praising the Lord in the congregation of His saints. This ought to be the easiest, most natural place in the world to praise God. When we come together, sometimes you'll get out in the world and you get around people that are unbelievers and they don't realize how important praise is to His people. But you might say somewhere something good happens or something comes to mind and you say, well, praise the Lord. And you know, they don't understand what you're talking about. But when we come together as God's people and we say, praise the Lord, everybody ought to know what you're talking about. When we sing the old songs of Zion, I got a blessing out of that this morning. We sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's praising the Lord. I got a blessing out of all the songs this morning, but I'll tell you, I come with a mind to try to get a blessing out of it. And if we'd come with a mind to try to get a blessing out of something, you'd get a bigger blessing out of it. But we ought to come together. It ought to be an easy place. And if we cannot lay up some praise here in church, there's something wrong with us. You say, I come to church this morning, I hadn't got much out of it. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the songs this morning. Somebody got a blessing out of them. I got a blessing out of them. There's something wrong with us when we come to God's house and we cannot praise Him among His saints, in the congregation, in His sanctuary. And so to summarize praise, it ought to begin in God's house. It ought to begin among God's people. That's what the Bible says in verse 1. So it says, praise God in His sanctuary. Then it goes on and it says this. It says, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him in the firmament. Now, if you study in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, chapter 2, about the creation, it talks about how God made the firmament. And that is simply this. It's the expanse. It's if you go outside and look up in the day or in the night, as far as you and I can see and beyond what we can see, that's the firmament of His power. That's what God created. That's what God made. Everything under the heavens, everything all around the world equally, there is no place where you can get outside of the firmament of God's power. I mean, that's everywhere. And in everything, we see the hand and the power of God in the firmament, in the expanse of the sky. Look at Psalms 148, verse number 1, what the Bible says. In the power, or in the firmament of His power, it says. But in chapter 148, let's read a few verses there. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Amen. Up on the mountain. I'm glad we live in the mountains, aren't you? I just believe it's easier to praise God in the mountains than when you get down in the flat country. Now, that's just my personal preference. But the Bible said, praise Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Boy, that's everywhere, isn't it? Where are you going to go to get outside of that? Where the angels are, where the stars are in the sky, God said, praise Him in those places. Verse 4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Amen. Up where the clouds are. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Amen. They ought to praise Him in the space station. They ought to praise Him in the rocket ships that orbit the earth. They ought to praise Him there, everywhere. Everywhere. Verse 6, He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. I was watching one of them nature shows, and they say in the deeps that we don't even know how deep the ocean is. They say there's creatures down there that's never yet been discovered. Man has never laid his eyes on. They don't even know how deep the ocean is. God said, praise Him from the deeps. fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his words, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. I'm telling you, if you study out chapter 148, that is everybody, that is everything, that is at all times, in all places, everywhere, in history and in the future. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He ought to be, praise is all inclusive. The Lord ought to be praised not just in the church house, but he ought to be praised in the courthouse. He ought to be praised in the schoolhouse. They say, oh, you can't pray in here. Well, I've never found anywhere where you couldn't praise at. Where you couldn't praise and thank the Lord for what he's done. He ought to be praised in the White House. He ought to be praised in the poor house and in the rich house and everywhere, in all places, the Lord ought to be praised. Once upon a time, I read in the Bible where praise saved a nation. This interests in me because I think our nation needs to be saved. And people say, I don't know what to do about America. We're a long ways down the wrong road. Things look bad. Yes, they do. We are surrounded by our enemies. Did you know that? Old Putin over in Russia said the other day, he said, don't mess with nuclear Russia. You know what we say about that? We better be careful what we say about that. That's where we are as a nation. We are in a position of weakness and we are in a position of vulnerability. And don't think that our enemies could not overrun our nation. What could save the nation? I don't know. One time praise saved a nation. Did you know that? The children of Israel were going to war and they were being attacked by the children of Ammon and the children of Moab. And 2 Chronicles 20 and 22 said, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab. When they came against Judah, that you know that name means praise. When they came against praise. And when the people of God began to praise the Lord and sing unto him, and the Bible says, and they were smitten. God just gave victory because all the nation did that. All they could do, they just began to sing and praise the Lord, and God wrought a victory on their behalf. Praise saved a nation once upon a time. Boy, we better be careful we don't forget to praise God. We've gotten to that place in our country, we've about forgot God. And you know what the Bible says about nations that forget God? Psalms 9:17. And all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell is what the Bible says. Well, we'd better remember what the Lord has done for us. There's the repository for praise. We ought to praise him in the sanctuary. And we ought to praise him everywhere else as well. That's what that is, the firmament of his power. But you know, I see something else here as well. There's reasons for praise. Now, in verse number 1, it says, praise God in. Do you notice that? In his sanctuary, in the firmament of his power. But in verse number 2, there's some reasons that we ought to praise him. Verse 2 says, praise him for. What are we going to praise him? Praise him for, look what it says, his mighty acts. You study about this, it's talking about God and his creation and his, what are the mighty acts of God? You look around you today, creation, his care for his creation is the mighty acts of God. Look over in chapter 147, verse number 3. What the Bible says. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, Scientists don't know how many stars they are. All they say is there's more than we've ever discovered. We don't know how big anything is, but God knows the number of the stars. Look at this. He calleth them all by their names. He not only knows how many there are, but He knows all their names. You know, I have three children. I get their names mixed up. There's more stars than anybody knows, and God knows them, every one, by their name. Isn't that amazing? Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There's nothing God does not know. He knows everything. Verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He made the world. He made the stars also. That's what it says in Genesis chapter number 1. He makes the grass to grow. He feeds the beast of the earth every day, and nobody thinks anything about it. But you know what else? He also, in verse number 3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There's nothing too big for God, and there's nothing too small for God. God knows about all the infinite things that a man could ever imagine in his life, and He knows what's troubling your heart this morning. He knows what's bothering you. He knows what you're concerned about. He knows what's keeping you up at night. He knows all these things. He knows all about us. It said in verse number 2, praise Him for His mighty acts, which He'd done. It said, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Have we really ever gotten near to that? I don't think so. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You think about some of the sports teams, and they spend billions and billions of dollars making monuments unto their own selves. They say if you go to Yankee Stadium that it's just phenomenal. That people that go out there in the outfield and they walk along them life-size statues, all them baseball players in the past, they just say, oh, that's just so great. That's just an experience, and it's hard to explain. They try to make a monument according to the greatness of the team. But the Bible says we ought to praise Him according to His greatness. According to His greatness. You cannot build a monument big enough. You couldn't spend enough money to get close to according to His greatness. But you know what God says? God says that among the saints, praise is comely. God says, that's beautiful to me. If we'd just come with a heart to praise Him and to thank Him, the Lord says, that's a beautiful thing. We ought to just praise Him because He's God. Look at Psalms 145, verse number 4, what the Bible says over there. Psalms 145. Look at verse 2. Start there in verse 2. It said, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. We'd never get to the end of it. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. There it is again. Has God ever done anything for you? The Bible said one generation shall praise and tell it to another. And old Noah, when he got to be an old man, he said, let me tell you something. God brought us through the flood. And Moses, when he was an old man on the other side of the Red Sea, he said, God brought us through the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea, and Boy, God done something great. You talk about mighty acts. Walked through on dry land. Delivered us from Pharaoh. Esther said, God brought us through the Babylonian captivity. There we was. We didn't have a temple. We didn't have a land. But God was there and God was real in our midst. And Daniel said, God brought us through the fire. And God delivered me in the den of lions. And the early Christians said, God brought us through the persecutions of the Romans. And they were feeding us to the lions. And we had to hide for our lives. But God was faithful in all those times. And our forefathers said God brought us through to a new land. God brought us through a struggle to a new government. Our grandparents said God brought us through the Depression. God brought us through World War II. He is faithful. And you know what? We'll be able to add our story to the volumes of praise from every generation to another because you know what? God's been good to us. God has not failed us. God's met our needs. God's been good to us. We say we don't know what the future holds. I don't either. But I'll tell you this, God's still God. God's still going to take care of us. God's still going to watch over us. And we, if time goes on and the Lord does not come very soon, we'll tell our children God's faithful. God's good. God is mighty. God is great. God is able. God can. God can still be God. God still is God. One generation will tell another generation is what the Bible says. He saved me. I could have been in hell today. I could be lost out here. I could be living in a ditch somewhere. I could be in prison. But I'm telling you, the Lord's done something great for me. God saved me. God's blessed me. God's been good to us. There's the reasons for praise. There's a lot of reasons we ought to praise Him. But then I see also this, number three, there's the resources of praise. Look in verse number three what the Bible said. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals is what the Bible said. Do you know there's every type of instrument is mentioned in that passage of Scripture? There's the wind, those that you blow upon. There's the stringed instruments that are mentioned, and there's the percussion, there's the cymbals that are mentioned, all the things. You say, well, I don't know. You know, that's just like us. You got all types. Now, you just get to beating and banging on a bunch of instruments, and that grates on my nerves pretty quick. But you get us working in concert together and unity together, and we've got some trumpets that's pretty loud, and we've got some harps that's pretty soft. And we've got some that goes along in the melody, and some takes the lead part. But you get all that working in unity together, you know what? That's a beautiful thing. God said, use them all. Use them all to praise me. Use them all in the sanctuary to sing the new song and all of those things. There's all kinds of talents that has to be employed to play these different instruments. You know, to me, I would think you'd have to be really talented to play a harp. I've seen that a few times in church. They've got about 300 strings on each side. You say, I can't imagine. But I've seen people sit down, they just play that thing and pluck those strings, and boy, that's a beautiful thing. Some people have talents to be used for the Lord, and I mean, it just is amazing to everybody else. But I'll tell you, I've also heard somebody play a little flute. That I got a real blessing out of too. I remember when I was about the first or second grade, down at Cove Creek School, and we had music, and Miss Cole was our teacher. I don't even know if anybody else here, some of you might remember her, but they had these little black, they called them recorders, but they had just a little plastic flute. And she'd get them things and try to teach us just how to play a little bit. And you know, a lot of times you can buy those for children and they can learn to play a little song. Well, you can do that and praise the Lord. That doesn't take nearly as much talent as it does to play a harp or a psaltery or something like that. But you know what? You say, I'm the kind of person, I can't even do that. But I believe I could play the cymbals. I believe that's one thing. Don't tell me you can't praise the Lord. Don't tell me there's nothing you can't do for God. Surely to my goodness you could play the cymbals. I could play... Dun, 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 dun. That's my part. I can't do much, but I believe I can do that. You don't even have to read music to do that. Praise the Lord. Surely you could do something for the Lord. Surely you just praise Him. It talks there in verse 5, I believe it is, or verse number 4, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. We're going to have a dance team at Mount Lebanon. Do you know that? It means to whirl or twirl around is what it means. I studied a long time about that. I thought, I don't know. I can't see us dancing. I can't see a one of us. I just don't have it. Abigail said, will you dance with me at my wedding? I said, probably not. I don't know. I'm really going to have to pray about that. I'm not much into dancing. But I do know this. They did in the Old Testament. It's all through. They praised the Lord. They got so excited about... Now, if you'd have been in Egypt, if you'd have been a slave in Egypt, you know the first time it mentions dancing in the Bible? When they had been slaves in Egypt and God parted the Red Sea and they walked over on dry land and they looked back and they seen Pharaoh's army drowning in the Red Sea, you know what they did? They danced. And if you'd have been there, you'd have probably danced too. And I've never danced, but I'll tell you, there's some times in church when God got so real that I had to move. I had to get up, walk around, I had to shout, I had to raise my hands. Do you know what? Real praise ought to employ your mind, your heart, your feet, your hands, your voice. Sometimes you ought to just be able to say, praise God, I can't stand it, God's so good. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. Surely we could do that. Praise Him in the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs and all of these things. People go to ball games and act nuts. I've seen people never raise their voice. You go to a ball game, you think they've been drinking. They're on something. They've drunk a gallon of coffee and come in this ball game. I mean, they'll hoop and holler and jump up and down and clap their hands and scream and we come into church and you'd think somebody's died. You know, the world's more dedicated to their things and their ball games than we are to the Lord sometimes. Do you know last night, Florida had their opening game. They played Idaho. They delayed the game. It was supposed to start at 7. They delayed the game till after 10 o'clock. Do you know those crazy people sat there that whole time? I can't imagine that. Lightning. Why didn't they play? Lightning to me, I say, I'm going home. Preacher Greg Thompson one time said a dumb chicken knows to get in out of the rain. And they finally had the kickoff, and they kicked the ball one time, and they had one return back down the field, 67 yards, and it lightened again, and they called it off. I'd have been home the first time. But you know what? These people, they'll set out for stuff like that. They wouldn't complain a bit. But you come to church, and it's 5 minutes after 12. I got to go. What's wrong with us? Praise the Lord. Got a good warm place to come, meet together, hear the songs of Zion, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we can sit there sometimes like a stump on a log. If anybody ought to praise the Lord, we ought to praise the Lord. We've got a lot to praise Him about. We got resources to praise Him. If we just came in an attitude of praise, it'd make all the difference in the world. You don't have to get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I'm going to raise my hands today and praise the Lord. You don't have to do that. If you'll just come in an attitude of praise, all the rest of it, it just takes care of itself. And if you really praise the Lord, you will have praised the Lord before you know what's happened. I just pray we could get in a service where we could just about all of us get embarrassed over how we act after it was done. I could stand here and tell you of good services. Praising the Lord, I have went away before and got to thinking about it and said, I just can't believe that happened. That was so good. I just can't believe that. Wouldn't that be good? If we just come with the attitude, Lord, I just want to praise you. I just was able to walk through the doors. I just want to praise you. And just use what we have. Might be a trumpet. Might be a quiet little harp. Might be an organ. Might be a little recorder. Might be the cymbals. Might be a raised hand. I don't know. Might be a shout of praise. But if we just come with the attitude, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Boy, what a difference it would make. The resources of praise. Last of all, there's this. In verse number 6, there's the requirement of praise. Now look what it says. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now I know you've got breath because you're not passed out on the pew. You remember them commercials a few years ago that said, got milk? With a question mark. Got milk? I'd like to have a bumper sticker that said, got breath. You could put Psalms 145, verse 6. Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. If you've got breath, you ought to praise the Lord. Do you know what? Everything has breath. All people have breath. All the creatures God has created has breath. The ones on the land, the ones in the air, and even the ones in the sea have breath. Let everything hath breath praise the Lord. Do you know the trees and the plants and the grass? They couldn't live. They breathe as well. Not like us, but they do. They have to have breath. They have to have air. They have to have all that in order to live. I went outside this morning. I could hear the little crickets and katydids and all the little bugs and insects, you know. And man, they was just making the loudest noise over there in the creek. And I love this time of year. I love to hear them start making that noise. I thought this the little breath they have, they're praising the Lord. And them all praising the Lord together. Man, it sounded pretty good. Sounded pretty good. Those of you that don't live on the main road, you ought to praise the Lord. Because every time I try to hear something like that, a car goes up and down the road. Praise the Lord. Just listen round about you. Everything has got breath. Well, there's a lot of people, they don't want to praise the Lord. What about the atheists? What about the antagonists out here? What about those that hate the Lord? They ought to praise God too. Because I'll tell you what, they're breathing His air. They're walking on His earth. They're eating His food. They're seeing by His light. If it wasn't for God, they'd be dead and in hell. God's merciful. God's good. God's gracious. God is slow to anger. Everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. And that's a universal praise. Everything, everybody ought to praise the Lord. But then the very last sentence in the book of Psalms, look what it says. It says, praise ye the Lord. See, I can't do anything about anybody else's praise, but I can do something about my praise. And you ought to underline that. It starts, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. This is a personal praise. And it ends, praise ye the Lord. Ye, now I know there's some people, they say, I can't understand all them these and thous and ye's. And oh, don't give me that. Can't you understand that? Who's that talking to? That's me. Praise ye. That's me. That's you. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord. I should praise the Lord. Everybody should praise the Lord. There's a personal requirement. I know. I know there's plenty out here in the world to growl about. There's plenty of darkness. There's plenty of gloom. I'm not trying to paint a different picture of the way the world is. But if you and I had our praise as it should be, then everything in the world wouldn't look as bad as it does. There's always something we could praise. Do you know praise will make your problems seem smaller? It really will. They won't actually be any smaller. They will still be there. But if we have an attitude of praise in our heart, it just don't seem as big. It just don't seem as bad. And I know they's big and I know they's bad. But praise will help you. Praise will help you get through the dark times. Praise will help you get through the sad times. Praise will help you know that the sun's still going to rise in the morning. God's faithful. God is merciful. God is good. And we ought to just praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's what the Bible says. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.